hymnal, if you would take your hymnals and turn to number 60, Be Thou My Vision. And let's stand together. Yeah, thank you, Miss Marley. So we're going without a capo on this. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, or man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Sing that last line. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Amen. Brother Greg, would you open us in prayer tonight? Amen. I think because he lives is 407. Sometimes I have a different number than what you have in your hymnal, so double check that for me if you would. Okay. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. They lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know is worth a living just because he lives. How sweet to hold be and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. Amen. It is. It's worth the race, isn't it, Brother Lane? Now, I'm pretty sure this is incorrect. Great is thy faithfulness. What number is that in your hymnal? Okay, if you turn to 54. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Okay, you can be seated. James and I are going to play one more song that you're not going to have words to, but we've been looking forward to this one, and so yours, if you've got it in your memory, that's good. If it's just going to be a special to you, that's good too. What now? That's true. That's true. Precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfolds. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scene of my childhood in fond memory appears. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. I remember Mother praying, Father too on bended knee, sun is sinking, shadows falling, but their prayers still follow me. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Good job, Brother Lynn.
Donna said 1925 or something like that. I can remember my dad singing that and playing the guitar. When he was a younger guy, they had singing schools out across the country, and they would go to these little country churches and put on singing schools. And I think he made about all of those. And there'd be a teacher that would come and teach, and they'd make up a choir and sing all those old church songs. And it was surprising how many of those songs he knew, although he never went to church, but he knew a lot of church songs. Keeping up the spiritual pace, how do we do that? We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. So Hebrews, the 12th chapter, you remember where that is? And we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. This ought to be familiar to you. By the time we get through. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We'll talk about that a little later. But he says, wherefore, I was always told when wherefore was there, look to see what it was there for. And it always had to do with what had taken place in the chapter previous to that. So he's talking about all these that died in faith being the witnesses, being those that were our example in our Christian walk. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, which I believe as we look through Hebrews 11, that he's talking about those that did that. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day and for every blessing of life. We pray that you'd open our heart to your word. I pray that Satan would be bound, Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that our spiritual eyes would be open tonight to the truth of your word. And help us to take this and apply it so to our lives that we'd run this race not just with patience, but, Lord, looking to you and being what we ought to be for others that are watching our race. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I said this morning that our loved ones were not up in heaven watching our race, and I believe that. But there are folks watching, and there are those that are gathered around us. There are those that are watching our race. Our co-workers are watching our race. Our neighbors are watching our race. I'm confident that my neighbors know about what time I go to church. I'm confident that your neighbors know the same thing. So if you could have been present in one single event in the life of Jesus, what would it be? At his birth? What about, I think about this when I preach on it, is when Lazarus came back to life. I think that would have been quite an event to have been at. Can you imagine that there were probably folks at that event that afterwards tried to kill Lazarus because it was so much proof of Jesus being the Messiah? What about when Jesus rose from the grave? Would you like to have been able to have witnessed that? I don't know. That seems to be an awful scary event for me. I don't know if that was one of them that I'd like to have witnessed or not. But there is one that I want to bring our attention to in the life of Jesus, and it's in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew, the 17th chapter, and beginning with verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. James's brother, I didn't read that very good, but it's James's brother John. So this is the three of the inner circle that we see when we study the life of Jesus. These three were involved in some things that the others were not involved in. Now, they didn't, I don't know if they ever passed the test or not, but they didn't always pass the test. He bringeth them up into a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. Now, I've said this before, you know this statement, but the word transfigured here means that was on the inside came to the outside. Now, sometimes you and I are transfigured before our neighbors and mostly before our family. Usually we are able to control ourselves when it comes to our neighbors, but sometimes we are relaxed when it comes to our family, and we don't pay as much attention to being transfigured before our family, and that's on the inside comes to the outside. But that was on the inside that came to the outside in Jesus is totally different than that which is on the inside comes to the outside sometimes in our life. Hopefully, it's not that way, but sometimes it is. I'm just talking about myself here. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tents or tabernacles, three places to stay, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. So they were able to witness that. You remember, there's a passage of Scripture that says that even those that witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus, that we have a greater proof than that. And it's the Scripture. The Scripture is even of greater proof than if we had been there ourselves. So, would we call this a mountaintop experience? I guess so. Peter's first response was, let's stay here. Verse 4. He said, it's good for us to be here. Well, reality sets in, you and I don't live on the mountaintop. Have you noticed that? We don't live on the mountaintop. And in verse 9, the Bible says here that they also came down from the mountaintop. So how do we keep up the pace in this race that you and I are in this race of life that you and I are in? How do we keep up the momentum? I want us to look at some dangers that we need to be honest about. Some people's feelings and commitment only last as long as the emotion of the experience. We can't be that way. We just cannot live our lives that way. We can't last in the race that way. We can't depend on emotion to get us through the race. Some, when following gets hard or crisis come, they'll choose a seat on the sidelines. Let's wait. I feel like I'm quoting here. Let's wait until this is over. We'll just do something else until things settle down. I could give you some examples of me talking to folks about church and that what they were waiting for to get back in. So we need to picture ourselves in a race. It's kind of hard for me to do that now. I never was much of a racer. I've watched races. Everyone charges off the starting line, but then how do we keep up the race? So if we go back now to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and I talked about this a long time this morning, but we have to find strength from those who've gone before us. Look back. If you're in Hebrews 12, turn back a few pages to Hebrews 10 and look at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Let's not forget where we came from. I believe that's the main issue here, that we look back on the past to gain from that, not to mourn over it, but to gain from that. The Bible is for us. Over in the book of Romans, let's see. They hadn't moved that, have they? Romans, the 15th chapter. I'd like for you to look at that with me. And look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So, in our race, the Scripture is our handbook for the race. We're running the race, but we have this handbook that gives us this great hope. And here the Bible says it was written for us, for our learning. It was written for the learning of those that came before us, but it's also written for our learning. It's a present book. It's a book that never loses its power. 12:1 said we had a witness. This cloud of witnesses are those that he talks about in chapter 11, the hall of faith. This great cloud of witnesses, the life of faith, is the only life worth living. Hebrews tells us that these all died in faith. Look with me at Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they were looking for a new country. Lastly, I will put off that which trips me up. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I say that as though that would be easy to do, but it's not easy to do. I must let go of the ungodly. So what is it in your life and in my life right now that the Holy Spirit is saying is ungodly? Those things that we do not, that we should get out of our life, that is a hindrance to our race. In some people's lives that may listen to this sermon on the internet later, it might be an addiction that they need to give up. It is always addictions or something that I cannot understand. I can't understand folks giving up their kids for an addiction, can you? And there may be some folks that are going to be listening to me that are struggling with that very thing. I'm sure that there's some things in my life that I'm sure the Holy Spirit needs to bring my attention to. I like food awful well. I think that you can go overboard on anything. I remember talking with a man that was an alcoholic, that not only had he struggled with it all of his life, oh, I don't know about all of his life, but all of his adult life, but his family had to struggle with it too. Not only did he have this addiction that kept him bound up, but it was, if you're in it, you can't get away from it. If you're part of the family, if you're one of the kids, or if you're the spouse, you cannot get away from it. We were visiting, this has been years and years ago, and I came from a family of addiction of alcohol. And I had told this man, I knew that he was an alcoholic, but I wasn't really making reference to him. But I made some suggestion about a member of our family, or members, that I could not understand why they would have so much to give up in order to fulfill this addiction. And he said, I can understand. I do understand why they do what they do, because I do the same thing. And he said, if you are drunk, your trouble is not there. I said, but you have to sober up. He said, I know. And every drunk knows that. But while you are drunk, you have an escape from that. Now, if I were able to have that same conversation today with that same person, he's already going to be with the Lord, I think. I did his funeral. But if I had an opportunity today to have that same conversation with that individual, I'd say there's another way. And Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is the other way. He is the one that brings hope to the addicted. He is the one that no matter what is going on in our life, we, as Paul said to the Hebrews, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our hope. It may be a deceitful business practice in some folks' lives that they've practiced so long they know that it's not right to be doing that, but yet they continue to do that. There may be some folks under the hearing of my voice, hopefully not here, but you don't know, entertaining a flirtation relationship, and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it at all. So I must let go of all those unnecessaries. So what are the unnecessary things that would keep us from running a good race? When Paul was writing to Timothy and he was coming to the end of his life, he was able to say that I've fought a good fight. And in that passage, he said, I've kept the faith. Now, I don't think that he is saying that if someone falls or falters in some way, they're not saved anymore. I don't think he's saying that at all. But he said, because of that, there's laid up for me a treasure in heaven. So I will choose to persevere until I cross the finish line. I think that's what Paul was saying. I will keep a single-minded focus on Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Let's stand together. Brother Roger, would you dismiss us? Let me remind us that next Sunday morning we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to have business meeting that night. But let me remind you that on Easter we're going to be having sunrise service at 7 o'clock, and then we'll have breakfast. So get those. I want to give you plenty of time to get those breakfast dishes together. That's a good time, and we'll be able to have fellowship there after between the sunrise service and Sunday school. I urge everybody to come to Sunday school and be a part of that. And then we'll have a worship service at 10 o'clock, and then we won't have service that night. Give you an opportunity to spend time with your family and go see folks or whatever you need to do. But we've got a couple of weeks here that we've got a lot of things planned. So Awana, of course, is on Wednesday night. You keep those things lifted up and prayed for. And Brother Rod, if you want to hear some good preaching, you come to the sunrise service. Is going to be extra special. Roger's going to preach. So pray for him between now and then. Roger?